Welcome to the Sarah Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Sarah Podcast, episode number 3. This podcast this week will be a week one recap as we talk about what happened during this past week's races. I am your host, Matt Rolfe, driver of the 51 and league admin. I'm also here with Clay Snyder, driver of the 38. How are you, Clay?
Good, how are you?
Good. And then I'm also here with Mark Gammick, driver of the 63. Hey, Mark.
Hello.
So, 1 week is already in the books, and I think the main thing we're going to talk about is car counts. Car counts are up quite a bit. We had 30 cars in the SK Modifieds, 40 for the Street Stocks, 49, which was a league record in the late models, and 46 cars for the Super Late Models that all attempted to qualify. And we'll talk about each one of those as we move through the podcast. But it's definitely a good thing to see early on. I know, Clay, you've been around for a while, so you kind of know that usually early in the season we have pretty good car counts, but they usually tend to drop off a little bit. But even these numbers were higher than we normally get.
Yeah, I would say for sure we're going to see these high numbers for the first several weeks. Yeah, usually, like you said, we have higher car counts at the beginning, but we've never had them this high, especially 49 cars for Pro Lates and all that. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was talking to, I want to say either you or Derek in our Facebook chat, and I was talking to someone else as well. And I, at one point, there was guys signing up left and right, and there was a lot of guys still excited from the Street Stocks and that kind of thing. And I said, I think we're going to have over 50 cars for the late models. And I believe we did have over 50, but only 49 officially attempted to qualify. But still, that's a pretty damn high number.
Yeah.
And yeah, usually by, you know, week 3 or 4, car counts will drop off. But I think we'll see. I think we're going to send home cars at least for the first four weeks of the season. And then we'll see how it goes after the off week. But I guess I'm glad that the car counts are up, but I know it makes it stressful for some people, so we'll see how that goes. I guess we'll get right into the Escape Modified feature from last Monday night. We had a 100-lap feature at Iowa. Iowa, as the first track on the schedule, it's kind of a nice wide track, a big track. Makes for some pretty good racing because you're able to run multiple grooves, and I think the race went fairly well, but we did have 7 cautions, so it kind of slowed the pace a little bit, but it really wasn't too bad. I think a lot of the wrecks were either single car spins or maybe 2 cars involved in a wreck, and that was just about it. But I think overall it went pretty well. So we had 30 cars that showed up to qualify for the SK Mods. 29 of those started the race. No surprise here, but Bill Martin picked right back up where he left off from last season and picked up the pole. We then inverted the top 10 cars. Michael German led the field to the green, but I think for the most of the race it was Tom Wetmore, Cody Kelly, and Bill Martin up front, and those guys definitely paced the field. You know, they were battling side by side, and I know Bill looked like he might have been the faster car up there, which is no surprise, like I said, but it took him a while to actually get up to the lead. And then we had a caution right about halfway at lap 52, and I'm pretty sure just about everyone came down and took tires, and it kind of took out some of the strategy in that, but it made it equal for everybody.
Yeah, you pretty well had to pit. I mean, the tires were worn out.
Yeah, a lot of guys up front were getting loose. You could see smoke coming off of cars and that kind of thing, so you could tell the handling was starting to go away a little bit on some of them. And then, so after the restart, I believe Tom Wetmore got back up to the lead first, and then Bill Martin took over, and it looked like it was going to be a Bill Martin win for him, but as those guys were battling up front, out of nowhere comes Ty Majeski, which, again, should be no surprise for him either, but he had to start at the back of the field. He actually missed his qualifying, didn't quite get in the session in time, started way out back, and then made his way up through the field, no problem. But by the time they got to the end of the race, luckily for him, those guys were battling up front and put him in position to compete for the win.
Yep.
You know, he's always fast.
Yeah, it seemed like you had to pick one of two evils at Iowa. It was either loose in 1 and 2 or tight in 3 and 4. And so you could kind of see the difference between people that were really sliding through 1 and 2 or were really tight, or sliding through one and two were really tight in three and four, and I was one of those people that was loose in one and two, and that made it really hard to race with anybody who was sliding through the one and two.
I could really run up on people in the corners, but I was just too loose on the bottom to try to get under them coming off. I just had to pedal it a little bit.
And Iowa is kind of a tough track with that because, especially with the SK mods, you're so wide open anyways that usually the outside lane can get a pretty good run off the corners. But if you're on the inside and on the bottom, or I guess it's the same thing, if you're on the inside and you're loose, it makes it hard to get the run off the corners. And I think that's where a lot of guys are struggling.
Yeah, especially in turn one with that massive bump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that bump played havoc on a few people for sure.
Yeah, you could really tell the difference. A lot of people, like I said, the people that were set up for one and two could just drive it in there and go right over the top of that bump. And then I was really having to be ginger about it and not spin out over that thing.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if it was that bump, but I think on one of the late restarts, Bill Martin was leading, and I believe Majeski had got up to second. And I don't know if Bill got into the bumps and it made him loose or what it was, but he... Something happened to him. He got really, really loose, went up, hit the wall. Majeski got the run, got into the lead, and then halfway down the backstretch, the caution flew for something that happened out back. So that sealed the win for Majeski. He only led five laps, but it was the last five, and I think that's the most important five. Yep. And it was his 50th career Sarah win, so a big milestone win for him. I believe he is, well, I should say, I know he's the only driver that's now in the 50-50 club, 50 poles, 50 wins. So
yeah, that's pretty incredible.
I don't think he has really all that many starts either. I think he's still down underneath 100 starts. So when you consider that, that's a pretty good percentage. Yeah. So I'm just going to go through the top 10 real quick. We'd had Ty Majeski, as I said, as the winner. Bill Martin came up a spot short in second. Cody Kelly finished third. He was up front all race long. Anthony Salentano finished fourth. And Patrick Hagee finished fifth. Both of those guys started back in 24th and 25th. They gained the most spots officially for the guys that qualified. In sixth, we had Mike Alexander, which is a new driver this season. He really impressed, and I think he made every race this week, which is impressive for a new driver, and ran well in all of them. Christian Peterson was another guy that had to start out back with a provisional, finished seventh. Matt Eddy finished eighth. Michael German ninth, and Tim Bills was, again, another driver that finished or started out back and finished 10th. I believe five guys in the top 10 started 24th or worse. So at a track like Iowa, where you know you have plenty of room to race, it was good to see those guys make their way up through the field.
Yeah, it was certainly a lot of fun running side by side. I don't know how many laps that Ty Spearman and I ran side by side, but it was a long time and it was a lot of fun. It's just a good track to race at.
And eventually with you and him, it ended up costing you some positions, I think.
Yeah, I tried to hold on to that position a little too long, I think, and just refused to give it up. And he thought he had room to slide up, and I thought that I could keep my nose in there. And it didn't wind up being too bad a deal. I was able to get everything fixed up by the end of the race, but it just cost us there.
Yeah. Clay, I believe you had some pit road issues that kept you from a better finish than what you should have had.
Yeah, I was a little quick exiting once.
I got caught the same time you did, so I was right back there with you. And then as all three of us were trying to make our way through the field at one point, I know I got caught up in another wreck or two, so that ruined my race. A couple other guys that had some poor finishes from what you'd expect. Tom Wetmore got 20th. I believe he had some contact with Ty Majeski when they were battling. Dropped him down. Spearman was running up front late, and he was kind of in the same line as Bill Martin. That's where he got really loose late and ended up in the wall, finished 26th. And then another guy down there that I see is Ian Lang at 24th. I believe he started out back and kind of got caught up in a couple things and was just never able to make up ground. So those are just a couple notable names that finished back there. I'm going to move right along into the street stocks. We had 40 cars attempt to qualify for that race, which I'm pretty sure is a record for the street stocks, but it really isn't surprising when you consider it's street stocks at USA, which are both free content pieces.
Right.
And not just free content, but something that they run on a regular basis anyways.
Yeah. That definitely probably had part of the... It was part of the reason why we had so many cars, but it was more than I expected for the street stocks. I was thinking around 25 to 30 would have been just fine. Even that was a little higher than I thought, but good to see 40 cars show up. The top 25 cars on time were separated by just 0.324 seconds, which is pretty narrow for top 25.
Yeah, that's a lot of parity there.
Yeah. And we ended up giving out a few provisionals to start at 29. Hunter Combs got the pole, and then we inverted the top 9 cars, which moved Tommy Burns up to the front. Tommy, he's run with us a couple times before, but this was just his third race, I believe, and he took full advantage of it. He went out and led the entire thing, never gave up the lead once, came home with the win. So I always like new faces ending up in victory lane, but especially when they can do it early in the season, when he's beating out 39 other cars, it's pretty impressive. But the race itself was a little rough. I don't know what it was about the street stocks on Tuesday, but we had guys being a little over-aggressive at times, a little back-and-forth aggressiveness towards each other. Some guys were getting on the radios at each other. We had 7 cautions, which isn't horrible, but when it's only a 75-lap race, it's just hard to get into a rhythm. And so I don't know what it was about Tuesday night. That's usually our cleanest division, but... that wasn't the case on Tuesday.
Seemed like several of the cautions were back-to-back, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't think there were any small cautions either. It seemed like most of those took out a good 5 or 6 cars at least. Clay, I know you got caught up in... It sounded like you got caught up in just about every one, but I finally got the best of you later on.
It's so narrow there on those straightaways, and it was weird. It seemed like several of the wrecks would happen like halfway down the straightaway too, like not even in the corner. So I don't know if it was guys that had different gearing and were just running up on people, and or just chain reaction. I don't really know what caused a lot of them.
Yeah, I know we were talking on our team channel. Mike Belanger got caught up in a couple, and he was out pretty early on. It seemed like you got caught up in everything. You were still running, but eventually, I forget what happened, but I know you got caught up in some big ones late, which dropped you out.
Yeah.
And then Mark, I really don't remember what happened to you, but I know you said you got caught up in some things as well.
Yeah, in one of the cautions, I got ARCA braked, and it wasn't that big of a deal. It was... After Monday, I was managing damage, and so Tuesday just became about managing damage as well. And then I missed a gear downshifting under caution and spun the car out and smoked the tire wall or the barrels at the end of pit road. And so on top of feeling stupid, I wound up stuck in the end of pit road and had to take a tow. So that I was sitting there around the tail end of the lead lap or one lap down, and then I wound up 5 laps down because I had to take that tow. So it was just kind of an embarrassing situation all around.
It's probably a good thing I missed that then.
Yeah,
it's tough when you get behind like that, and it kind of just adds up. Somehow I finished 3rd. I really don't remember passing anyone. I felt like I was in the back half of the top 10 for most of that race, but just with all the cautions and the restarts and stuff like that, somehow I got up to 3rd, so I'm not complaining there. Just to go through the top 10 in the street stocks, we had, like I said, Tommy Burns picked up his first win. Hunter Combs, who was impressive last season, keeps it going again this season with a 2nd to start things off. I finished 3rd. Tom Wetmore finished 4th. And I believe he was just about one of the only front runners that actually pitted during that race. He pitted before halfway and then somehow made his way back up through and got 4th. Kevin J. Myers, 5th. Scott Bell, who has run with us before, but not very much. He's been running this season so far, ran a couple races. He finished 6th. Mike Rhino, 7th. Ian Lane, 8th. Scott Dunlap, 9th, who gained 20 positions from where he started after taking a provisional. And Kyle Wood finished 10th. So we had a couple top guys finish near the front, and then a couple guys that, you know, they're usually battling for top 10s when we have lower car counts, but it's good to see those guys getting those early on in the season. And then a couple names that finished kind of down the list that we already talked about. You guys, Mark and Clay, finished 21st, 22nd. Daryl Hamlin, I believe he ARCA braked someone, calling him out on that one, but we've already talked about it. He finished 25th. And then Tim Bills got caught up in a wreck and got penalized, got 28th. And Parker Traves was back there as well. He was in the wreck that Tim Bills was in. So a couple bigger names finished towards the back of the field. Just some notable guys to make note of. Just heard what I said. Notable guys to make note of. Yeah. Anyways.
Yep.
Feel free to call me out. I don't care. I figured I'd call myself out on that one. All right, so we'll just move on into the pro late models. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, a league record 49 cars attempted to qualify. That's crazy.
A lot.
Yeah, that was pretty daunting going into qualifying. It's like, wow.
I know before the sessions even went up, I was thinking to myself, I was like, I think we're going to have 50 cars. I'm going to have to put something out there on Facebook and Twitter saying, you know, if the session fills up, we'll put another session up, because I think we're going to get there. And we definitely did. And I didn't have enough time to practice, so I got one lap in practice and I was loose. And I said, nope, no way. I'm not going to take a spot from someone else because I'm going to wreck. So I'll just sit that one out. But like you said, Mark, it's pretty daunting during qualifying, and you know you had to make the top 25, not just in your session, but there's two sessions out there, so you weren't sure who's going to knock you out of that top 25 in the other session. So I think
I'm not very good at qualifying, so I went out there and I touched the apron and I ran a 4 when everybody else was running a 2, and my initial reaction was, oh, I didn't make the, well, I'm not going to make the dash. And then I was kind of sitting there on track and I'm like, no, you might have missed the show. And so then I was kind of scrambling to see where are we at for provisionals. That was a situation I've never been in before.
Yeah, and luckily for you, you did well last season, so that paid off for you, and you got a provisional. Made for a long night starting out back, I'm sure, but at least you were in the show.
Yep.
So when we had 49 guys show up and only started, I think we gave out a few provisionals, and given out enough that we were going to start 32 cars, and I think one person didn't show up, so we had 31, which means 18 cars either didn't make the field or we went home. And a lot of those are new guys, so that's, you know, I think I talked about it in one of the other shows that we did, but for all the new guys that came out, I know you guys might have missed the field, but don't get frustrated. Keep coming back, because it's one way to prove yourself against these top guys is if you can qualify and race with them, that's only going to make yourself better. So although you didn't make the field race one, I believe car counts will drop off some, so it might be easier to make the field moving forward. And we do have drop races and stuff like that, so even though you might be behind early, still a long way to go. So I hope a lot of those new guys keep coming back, because there was quite a few that missed the show, unfortunately. Trying to pull something up on my computer. But anyways, 49 cars attempted to qualify. We started at 31. Ty Majeski, we already talked about a little bit, picked up his 52nd career pole. And I'm not sure, but I believe he might have raced from down in Florida in New Smyrna.
I was kind of wondering about that.
He's from Wisconsin, but on Thursday during the day, he was at New Smyrna practicing. So I'm assuming he was at his hotel somewhere, which is, you know, if you can take a setup with you on the road and qualify in the pole against 49 other cars or whatever it was, that's impressive. We know he's good, but that's still impressive. So he got the pole there. We inverted 8 cars for that, which moved Scott Schrader up into the lead. Scott, even last season, showed he had plenty of speed, picked up a few poles, and he led quite a bit early on. I believe he led the first 20 or so laps. Then Tim Bills took over. And I believe Tim looked like he had one of the fastest cars all night. We had a long green flag run up until about lap 80, about a 40-lap run up until lap 80. And then we had some pit strategy. A couple guys stayed out. I believe it was Tom Wetmore stayed out. He actually pitted earlier in the race, from what I saw. So he had newer tires in most of the field at that point, but when everyone pitted, he decided to stay out, took the lead. Jason Williams, I don't think pitted at all, was in second. Majeski had 2 tires in third, and then Tim Bills, like I said, who seemed like he was the fastest car on track, he was in fourth on the restart. And they had a couple of late restarts and a couple of timely cautions, which allowed Tom to hold everyone off on the older tires. So Tom Wetmore picked up the win. And luckily for him, on one of those restarts, Tim had to battle with Casey Kelly for a second, which let him get away just before that caution. So that worked out for him. And I know from my past experience, when you're trying to play that strategy, usually you want to get your tires late. But sometimes you have to pit early and try to make the most of it, and he certainly did.
Yeah, and that was really impressive considering he got caught up in a couple incidents early. and really didn't have a car, probably didn't have a car at 100%. It certainly didn't look like it was at 100%, but yeah, being able to get those jumps on the restart and hold on to the lead was pretty important.
I think even you got into him once in one of the cautions. Yeah. There was some last second deal for you, nowhere to go, but I think he actually got caught up with Joe twice, which I'm pretty sure they're both your teammates as well, so a little teammate-on-teammate crime.
Yeah.
Clay, you know how that goes, right?
Yeah, a couple times.
We're going to call out Derek Robinson on that one. Me and you haven't wrecked each other too much, but I know Derek's got into you a few times. But we'll just leave it at that, I think. So Tom was able to hold on and picked up the win. Just going through the top 10 here. Find where I put it. Hang on. I know I linked it to you guys in our chat, so I'll pull that back up. Okay, so top 10. Tom Wetmore held off the field on old tires, finished first. Casey Kelly finished second. Tim Bills led 60 laps and finished third. Ty Spearman finished fourth. Joe Schaefer finished fifth. I think he had to come from the back a couple times. Wendell Stratton got sixth. Jason Williams, he used a provisional, started dead last in the field, which was 31st, and finished seventh. So that was pretty good. Mike Alexander, we talked a little bit, I mentioned him in the SK finish. He's a newcomer this season, got another top 10, finished eighth. David Krikorian, ninth, and Dale Owen finished 10th. A couple guys that might not have got the finish that they wanted. Scott Schrader led early. He had to pit under green for some reason. I'm not sure if he was short on gas or what that was, but he finished 23rd. And then late in the race, Cody Kelly, Ty Majeski, and Bill Martin, they were all battling for position, trying to get up through past. I think they're trying to get past Jason Williams, who's on old tires, and they all got together, ended up down on the inside wall, and finished 25th, 26th, and 27th. So a couple of the big names finished out back, which is tough to start the season. But I know last season for Bill on the SK mods, he finished 30th or 31st to start the season, came back and won the championship. So even though they've wrecked late, it's still not too early. You know, it's not late. You still got a long ways to go.
Yeah, I think Scott might have gotten caught out by. There were a lot of cautions early, and it kind of felt like it was going to be another night of the street stocks the night before. And then all of a sudden, everything broke open. We went, that 39-lap run on green. And I think that surprised a lot of people that all of a sudden we were green for a long time.
Yeah, it had to look like it was going to go for quite a while, and then we had that leash caution. So I'm not sure if that bit him, you know, not, or if he pit early to try to avoid that or what it was, but tough when you lead laps early and then you're forced down pit road for, you know, not under caution either during green.
Yeah.
Whenever you have to pit under green, it really ends your race pretty much.
Yeah. A track like that, yeah.
And then moving on to the super late models, I know neither of you guys racing this one, so I guess it's mostly me recapping this one. But once again, another high car count. 46 cars attempted to qualify. It was kind of along the same lines as the pro late models. I expected a big car count. Ended up putting up two sessions for it. And we had 46 cars officially attempt to qualify. Top 25. Oh, going back to the pro late models real quick. The top 25 were separated by 0.310 seconds, which was even smaller than the street stocks. And then the super late models, top 25 were separated by 0.4 seconds. Justin Brooks had a blistering fast lap, which is why that was actually 4/10 of a second rather than 3, because most of the field was within 3/10 of each other, but Brooks had a fast lap there. We started 30 cars, and very, very surprisingly, but I'm really glad it happened. We got spread out early, and we only had one caution in the super late model race, which is pretty damn impressive. Week one, 30 cars in the track. It's usually not how it goes, but I'm quite happy with that. I know, Clay, you've been around for a while. You know how it goes early in the season. We usually have somewhere between 8 to 10 cautions at least, right. And it makes for a rough start to the season, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So that was great to see. We had a 10-car invert to start the race. Richard Bruce led the field to the green. I think Daryl Hamlin took over the lead for a few laps early, and then Cody Kelly took over which is when we started that really long green flag run. He got out to about a 2 second lead. And then right around lap 30, between lap 30 and 40, the tires really started changing everyone's setups. It looked like a lot of guys were starting to get loose. And that's really where we had our comers and goers. I started my setup tight, not intentionally. I just never quite got got it dialed in. So I was pretty tight early on, but I think that helped overall because a lot of guys were getting loose and falling off. And I was able to pick up a few spots that way. And it also helped Tim Bills because he charged and caught Cody Kelly for the lead, passed him around lap 60 or so. And then we had a caution on lap 71, which was the only caution of the race. And of course, by that point, everyone headed down pit road. And then we had another restart. Tim Bills got back into the lead after the restart. And then this time, Casey Kelly was right there on his tail. And it was actually quite the exciting finish. We got to two laps to go. Tim Bills entered turn one, slipped up a little bit, and allowed Casey to get to his inside. They drag raced down the backstretch, came around turn four, and Tim got the advantage again going into turn one. And I think Tim left the door open just a little bit, and Casey stuck his nose in there, just hard racing, nothing dirty or anything, and they got together. It almost sent Casey for a spin down to the inside. Tim got spun to the outside, actually caught Cody Kelly up with them. So the top three cars all got together on the final lap coming out of turn two. And then, out of nowhere, Justin Brooks, who was running fourth at the time, a little ways back, he sees what's happening. He doesn't lift quite as much as the others, and he just flies right by all of them, heading into turn three, and comes around with a win, which is pretty damn crazy. You know, going from fourth to first, you never really expect that, but it worked out for him. I asked him if he had a horseshoe with him, or if he got a horseshoe during his pit stop or anything like that, because he was pretty lucky there at the end. Like I mentioned before, I was tight, and it actually worked later in the race when the I didn't have as much gas in it, and I think some guys were still struggling late in the race too, even though we had fresher tires, and I was able to gain a few spots that way. But just going down through the top 10, Justin Brooks picked up the win. Casey Kelly, despite the late contact, finished third. Cody also, despite the late contact, Casey got second. Cody was able to get third. Both of those had contact on that last lap. David Krikorian finished fourth. Cameron Hamilton finished fifth. Tim Bills was leading at the white flag. It was a 116-lap race, by the way, for 2016. But if that race was one lap shorter at 115, which I probably normally would have done, Tim Bills would have been your winner, but he came up one lap short, finished sixth. I ended up seventh, Daryl Hamlin eighth, Ty Spearman ninth, and Bill was actually running in front of us. I believe he was either fifth or sixth coming to the white flag, and then after that whole mess happened out of turn two, I believe he had contact with Tim Bills coming out of turn four, and he dropped a few spots and finished 10th. But that was an exciting finish. And then a couple guys to mention that finished down the list a little bit. Davey Riendo, usually running up front, finished 17th. I believe he was part of the only caution. Jason Williams finished 18th. Dale Owen, 22nd. Joe told me not to mention this, but he finished 27th. And partway through the race, he had his computer freeze up on him. Everything went black. And all of a sudden, we saw him go down pit road at about 120 miles per hour and weren't really sure what was happening, but he ended up having computer issues, which dropped him out early. And then I'm not sure what happened to Kevin J. Myers, but he got about 40 laps into the race, and I think that was right around the time when handling was starting to go away, and it looked like his car wasn't really handling good at all, and I think he parked it. He finished 29th, so just a couple guys that didn't quite get the finish they wanted. But once again, car counts were the big topic this week, and I think we'll keep those up for next week. Hopefully not 50 cars, but if we have 40, it'll still be good. But it's definitely good to see early on. I think some of the things we did during the offseason are paying off.
Sure. You want to give a quick preview of where we're at next week?
Oh, I suppose I can do that. Start with SK Mods. SK Modifies next week are at Oxford Plains. We usually try to keep Oxford for later in the season because it's one of those tracks that are usually hit or miss. But we're going to run that week too for the SK Modifieds. I believe that's a 100-lapper for those guys. Street Stocks next week are running at New Smyrna as part of the second race in the Florida Swing. So race one at USA, race two at New Smyrna, another 75 lapper. The top three combined that do the best in both of those two races will get some extra bonus points. Pro late models, I believe, are at Irwindale next week. It'll be the Irwindale Outer for 100 laps. And then the super late models are at Stafford for 125. So got a different range of tracks going on next week. Usually tracks that I believe race better later in the season because usually they're a little bit tougher, but we'll see how it goes, I guess. I'm not sure any of those tracks are any reason for the car counts to drop, but hopefully the racing doesn't get any worse either. Hopefully the racing still stays good or even better than we had in the street stocks. But I think it's a pretty good track selection for week number two as we move forward.
I think that is a positive to take out of week one is the fact that really street stocks was the only race that, we were kind of expecting all of the races, I think, on week one to be a little bit of a rough start. But the street stocks was really the only one that you're like, wow, that one had a lot of cautions. Even though SK mods and prolates did have a lot of cautions, you went back and watched the wrecks themselves, and a lot of them, it was like, well, that was racing. There wasn't a lot that could have been done different.
Right. Actually, all three of the first three races had seven cautions each, but when that street stock one is only 75 laps versus 100, adds up quicker and seems like it's a lot worse. And like I said before, it caught up a lot more cars in the street stocks than the other cautions did in the other divisions.
Yeah,
so
street stock, it was just a lot more stressful, it seemed. Everybody was so on edge in it, so it just seemed to last forever as well.
Yeah.
That really helped, but yeah, it should get a lot better as the season goes on.
It usually does, so.
Yeah, especially since last season it ended up being the cleanest season or cleanest series at the end of the season. It'll definitely get better.
Absolutely. So I think that'll wrap it up. As we move into week two, like I've mentioned before, we're going to try to get some guests on the podcast. This one was kind of thrown together last minute. We're recording it on Sunday night. We might actually even get this posted here shortly on Sunday night, or at least Monday morning for people during work, if they do have to work. But yeah, we're going to be moving into week two, looking for some more good racing, some better racing, and hopefully some more car counts. But that's going to wrap it up here for tonight. I want to thank both Clay and Mark for coming out and being on the podcast. We'll try to get some guests here shortly, and I think Patrick should be back next week, I believe. I know he's down in New Smyrna right now, and some other tracks in Florida covering some things, but he should be back. But as we move into week two, good luck to everyone, and we'll catch you all on track.